So Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands. And he smote them from Aor even till thou come to Minnith, even 20 cities, and unto the plain of the vineyards with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. And Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances. And she was his only child. Beside her he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass when he saw her that he rent his clothes and said, "Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me. For I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back." We'll stop reading right there just for sake of time. But that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. And I'm going to go with, if you have a Scofield Bible, he is heading over this. He's got it this way: Jephthah's awful vow. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. Jephthah's awful vow. And everybody asks the question, well, did he really offer up his daughter? Did he make a human sacrifice out of her? Did he make a burnt offering out of her? And we're going to look at that a little bit tonight. We have to consider and remember that it was a day when every man did that which was right in his own eyes. We've saw that over and over and over again, that is what is going on in the book of Judges. Everybody's doing just what they think's best, what they think they ought to do, or a lot of them what they can get away with. And J. Vernon McGee said about Jephthah, he said this about him, said he was one half pagan with a heathen background. He was one half pagan with a heathen background. His mother was more than likely a pagan. Calls her a strange woman. Remember over there, his mother was a harlot. Then it calls her a strange woman. It was common among the false gods with which the children of Israel had started following after, and that's what had gotten them in this mess that they were in to begin with. If you remember back in chapter 10, verse number 6, where it said, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam and Ashtaroth and the gods of Syria and the gods of Zidon and the gods of Moab." And it was common among the pagans to offer human sacrifices. And so that is something that he would have been at least familiar with, would be those who had practiced human sacrifice. But on the other hand, we've looked at Jephthah now for several weeks, and you know, Jephthah was a pretty good fella. Jephthah was a good man as far as in the book of Judges goes. He was definitely better to his brothers than his brothers were to him. And so he was a good man. He was a great diplomat for his people. He tried, if you remember back in verses 11 down through verse number 29, he tried to stop going to war. You know, he tried to be diplomatic about it, and he tried to send messengers unto the king of Ammon, and you know, tried to avert going to war. And so when we think about those things, he is not some kind of half-cocked, bloodthirsty tyrant or madman. In fact, if you think about it, we don't really find Jephthah killing anybody. I just don't think he's that kind of person. You remember when we started in the book of Judges, Ehud, you know, he assassinated the king of Moab, was it? And Shamgar, he killed 600 men with an ox goad. And we're getting ready to study about Samson. Samson sure did kill some people. Samson killed a lot of people. Some of these judges, I mean, they had a lot of blood on their hands, justified or not. But Jephthah, I don't find Jephthah killing anybody. Abimelech killed people. Gideon, no doubt, was involved. You know, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And although Jephthah goes to war, it doesn't say that he killed anybody. I don't think he's a bloodthirsty type person. I don't see Jephthah as a human sacrifice kind of individual. In fact, Jephthah, pretty much as much or more than the other judges, seems to me to be calm, cool, and collected. He seems to be conscientious about life, about human life. He even seems to me to be a compassionate type person. He could have told his brothers when they were being attacked by the Ammonites and he was down in the land of wherever he was, and you know, he could have told him, I'm not coming back and helping y'all. You did me wrong, and I just don't want anything to do with you. But he didn't do that. He went back, and he became the captain, and he risked his life, and he went to war. And so we'll get to that tonight. But just, I wanted to say all those things just by way of introduction to think about, you know, did Jephthah really offer up his daughter as a burnt offering? He told the Lord, whatever comes forth of the house, I'll offer it unto the Lord. And so we're going to look at that tonight. First, we'll look at his vow. There's Jephthah's vow, or as it says in the Scofield Bible, at least, Jephthah's awful vow. And it was an awful vow. Jephthah's awful vow. Verses 29 and verse number 30 in chapter number 11. The Bible said, and Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord. Said, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up a burnt offering. That is Jephthah's awful vow. And it seemed to me, if you look back in verse number 29, that as Jephthah began to travel around and he saw all the enemies that he was going to be up against, and he went through the land. Verse 29 said, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he passed over unto the children of Ammon. So somewhere along the line in his travels and his going about, and he's gathering an army and gathering fighters there, maybe Jephthah got a little nervous about the battle coming up. And Jephthah, even though the Spirit of the Lord had come upon him, he felt like maybe a little insurance wouldn't hurt anything. And the Bible said in verse number 30, and Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord. And I want to say tonight, before we get too far into this, that when it says Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord, that nowhere do we find that the Lord required him to do that. God didn't tell him to vow a vow unto him. God didn't tell him to offer up a burnt offering unto him. It was an unnecessary vow. It was a foolish vow. I believe it was a spur of the moment vow. It was a vow that was made under pressure and by a man that is getting ready to go into battle, and it's going to be the largest, the biggest battle that he's ever fought in his life. And so, why did he vow a vow? I think all that plays into why he vowed that vow. And you know, we've probably all done something similar to that. We've probably all had times in our lives where we have tried to bargain with the Lord to make sure, you know, that things was going to turn out right. Oh, Lord, if you'll just do this one thing, I promise I'll do this and that. You ever done anything like that? We ought not to do that. But sometimes we do things and then we think about it later. A lot of times we open our mouth before we think about what we're talking about. Lord, if you'll only do this, I'll do this. I promise to do this, and I'll do better, and I'll do, and I'll do. And we try to bargain with the Lord sometimes. We ought to be real careful that we don't do things like that. I believe that's one of the great lessons out of this passage of Scripture. Don't make rash vows. Don't make vows unto the Lord that you're not fully intending to keep. I remember when I was over at Forest Grove and pastoring over there, and I know some of you, a lot of you probably remember Brother Mike Warren. He was a deacon over there, and then later the Lord called him to preach, and then he ended up actually pastoring Forest Grove. But of all the people I've known down through the years, I don't know why, but I remember a lot of things Brother Mike said. And we were over there one night, and I think we were having singing practice or something like that, and there was a song that we sang, and it was that song, I'll Be a Friend to Jesus. And I never hear that song, I don't think about Brother Mike. Now, have you ever listened real close to the words of that song, I'll be a friend of Jesus? And it begins, it talks about the Lord being at the trial. They tried my Lord and Master, and you know, nobody was there. Nobody stayed there with him. Peter forsook him, and all the disciples forsook him and fled. And that's in verse number 1. And verse number 2, the song says, the world may turn against him. I'll love him to the end. The third verse says, I'll do what he may bid me. I'll go where he may send. And then the chorus says this, I'll be a friend of Jesus. My life for him I'll spend. I'll be a friend of Jesus until my years shall end. And we were singing that song, practicing. And when we got done, Brother Mike, he sang bass and he sat in the back. And I remember he said, I don't like that song. He said, that'll make a liar out of you. I remember that. If you think about it, well, that song's saying a whole lot. That song's saying, you know, Peter and all the disciples forsook him and fled, but I'll never do that. You know, that's what Peter said. That's what Peter told the Lord. Peter said, all might forsake you, but I never will. And Peter's the one that did it the most. And I always remember, I never hear that song. I don't think about Brother Mike. I don't like that song. He said, that'll make a liar out of you. You know, we ought to be real careful about what we're saying to the Lord. We're not above Peter, surely. Well, we ought to be careful. Let's look over in our Bibles, Ecclesiastes chapter number 5. Now, I'm studying about this week. And this subject of it's talking about vows unto the Lord. And some of you already know what I'm going to say tonight. Brother Dwight. I've heard Brother Dwight many times talk about making a vow unto the Lord, what the Bible says about that. And so I appreciate the teaching of our elders about what the Bible says about making a vow. The book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes. So you got Psalms, Proverbs, and then the book of Ecclesiastes chapter number 5. And chapter number 5 deals in great detail about making a vow unto the Lord. Jephthah vowed a vow. Do we need to be making vows unto the Lord? Do we need to be making promises unto the Lord? Well, let's look and see what the Bible says. Over in the New Testament, it says not to swear, but it says let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. Shouldn't go around swearing. You ever hear people do that? Well, I swear I'll do this and I swear I'll do that. Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And that ought to be the end of it. We ought to be people of our word. But Ecclesiastes chapter 5 says this, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. Now, what is the sacrifice of fools? Look on down. Verse 2, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. Have you ever dreamed something just crazy? And you say, you know, I've said this a lot of times. Well, I had pizza last night before I went to bed. Dreamed old crazy something. Where do dreams come from? You can read all kinds of books and talk to all kinds of people, and people will interpret your dreams and they'll tell you what they mean and all kinds of stuff like that. Here's what the Bible says. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business. Your dreams are your mind winding down, and through the day you've got all kinds of things going on, and when you dream, your mind is sorting through. I dream some of the craziest stuff, and sometimes I dream and I wake up and I say, boy, I'm glad that's a dream. The Bible says a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. What's he saying? If you, it doesn't say not to vow a vow. But the Bible says if you do vow a vow, you'd better pay it. It's serious business. If you tell God you're going to do something, you better do it. That's what the Bible teaches about it. Then it goes on and it says, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Remember, verse number 1 talked about the sacrifice of fools. What is the sacrifice of fools? It's to get up and say you're going to do something and not do it. God has no pleasure in that. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Now we can do that, can't we? Don't let your mouth make your flesh sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. You know, Jephthah didn't do that. Jephthah didn't say, you know, well, I didn't really mean that. I didn't know my daughter was going to come running out here. He didn't try to excuse it. He didn't try to get away from it. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words there are also divers vanities, but fear thou God. You know, if you do vow a vow unto the Lord, you better do what you said you're going to do. But I pay real close attention to verse number 5. Better is it that thou shouldst not vow. I think we need to be, when you talk about making a vow before the Lord, and I'll tell you, you will make some vows in your life. If you get married, you're making a vow before the Lord. That's serious business. And of course, the world, to them, it's nothing. But to God's people, it ought to be serious business. And so if you make a vow, you better pay it. I don't even like to use the word vow when we're talking about our faith promise missions. You know, we just had a missions conference and we have cards. And I was looking at one of the cards. I'll just show you an example. I really like these, but I wish they'd reprint it, because I don't like what it says on the back. It says, I promise to give such, you know, it's got a dollar, by faith each week to further the cause of home and abroad missions. I know this is not part of my tithe. It's not a pledge, but it is a vow made by me to God. I wish people would take it and read the front part of it. It's really good. But I don't like that part where it talks about that it's a vow made by me to God. When we give to the Lord, it really and truly, it's grace giving. It's given by the grace of God. And I like to refer to it as grace giving. We need to be real careful what we say to the Lord, what we say to people. Over in James chapter 4 and verse number 15, it says over there, for that we ought to say, we'll do such and such, Lord willing. You know, you might tell somebody, I'll be here at a certain time in a certain place, and what if you get in an accident? You can't help it. Be better just to say, Lord willing. That's why I said, Lord willing, we're coming back on Monday. Lord willing, we're leaving tomorrow. But Lord willing, we're putting our faith in Him. The Bible said, better it is not to vow a vow. Now, you might want to underline this in verse number 7. Here's the thing. For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also divers vanities. But fear thou God. Everything we do, we ought to do in the fear of the Lord. Don't get up and say you're going to do some big thing if you're not intending to do it. And so we ought to fear the Lord in what we do. Jephthah vowed a vow. I'm even careful. And I don't know, it's probably the devil, but sometimes I feel like I'm just about too careful. I'm very low pressure when it comes to altar calls, dealing with souls. I believe that's a serious time. I believe there's some things that the preacher can't help and mom and daddy can't help and ain't nobody else can help. That's between them and the Lord. If the Lord can speak to my heart as a little 9-year-old boy, He can speak to other people's hearts. And you'll know it's the Lord. I think sometimes we get in the way of what God is trying to do in people's hearts. It's very serious to do business with God. We ought to do business with the Lord. God is able to do that. Now, the language that Jephthah used, let's go back in the book of Judges. I just want to point something out. Just read these verses. The language that he used, I believe with all of my heart that Jephthah the whole time had an animal in mind. Because the children of Israel, even in their backslidden condition, knew that God was not pleased with human sacrifice. They were in trouble for following the gods of the lands all round about them already. And that's what they were doing. It was abominable. Now, the children of Israel did offer up animal sacrifices. But not just any animal. It had to be a clean animal. It had to be a cow or a goat or a sheep or a dove. It had to be a clean animal. And so I think if we said that a hog got run out some way, I think we'd probably all agree. I don't think he would have done that because hogs were unclean animals to the Jews. But his daughter comes running out and there's big controversy. Yeah, he took his daughter and burned her up. Well, that'd be totally contrary to the teaching of God's word. But I just want to point this out. He had, I believe, an animal in mind. Look what he said, verse 31. He made the vow unto the Lord. He said, if you'll deliver me, then it shall be. Verse 31. Then it shall be that whatsoever. Now, he didn't say whosoever. He said whatsoever. If we're talking about people, we don't call them whats. We call them whos. We call them them or they. But he said, whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it. That's an animal. He didn't say I will offer them or I'll offer her or I'll offer him. He said I will offer it up for a burnt offering. Jephthah had an animal in mind when he made the vow. Now, does that make a difference? Well, it surely does, but he's still going to have to do something about it. So there's Jephthah's vow in verses 30 and 31. Number two, there's Jephthah's victory. If you look at verse 32 and 33, the Bible said, so Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them. And the Lord delivered them into his hands. And he smote them from Aor even till thou come to the Minnith, even 20 cities and under the plain of the vineyards with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. And so the victory was his. But I believe the Lord would have given him the victory, vow or no vow. I believe the Lord had already shown in his circumstances and by the Spirit of the Lord coming upon him in verse number 29 that Jephthah was going to be victorious. The children of Israel had repented of their sins and it was evident that the hand of God was upon him. And so God gave them victory once again. And I'm not going to say very much about that because the Bible doesn't say very much about it. They won the battles. They won the victory. God gave deliverance over their enemies that was giving them such a very hard time. But God would have given the victory anyway. But Jephthah vowed a vow. And Jephthah's going to have to do something about it. There's Jephthah's vow. There's number two, Jephthah's victory. Number three, there's Jephthah's vexation. To be vexed means to be troubled, to be distressed. And we read down through verse number 34, the Bible said, and Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house. And behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances. And she was his only child. Beside her, he had neither son nor daughter. Now, Jephthah comes back home from the battle. And I imagine in my mind, you know, I got a farm scene in the Middle East going on. And Jephthah comes home, and I imagine in my mind that when he came home, you know, there's all kinds of animals roaming around. There's camels, there's sheep, there's goats. I mean, that's just part of their lives, livestock. And probably, since he didn't have any sons, or any other daughters, he's probably the one that went and throwed the hay out. Now, your animals will run to you when you come. They know you. They know your voice. I believe all the time he had in his mind the first animal, if it's the biggest ox I've got, if it's my prize bull, Lord, whatever it is, when it comes out, I'll offer it unto the Lord. But it wasn't an animal, it was his daughter. It was his only child, his only daughter. The Bible said he had nobody else. No other children, his one and only daughter. And in verse number 35, the Bible said, "And it came to pass when he saw her that he rent his clothes and said, Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me, for I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back." And so he had made this promise unto the Lord, and it troubled him and it vexed him. And it should have been a time of great celebration that was going on, but instead he rents his clothes, he tears his clothes. And he is mourning over this whole thing because he had made this vow unto the Lord. He knows what he vowed. Now, will he do what he said? Here's a great lesson. And I've already said this, but I'll say it again. We ought to do what we say we're going to do. And I was studying about this last week, and Brother Stephen texted me, and he asked me to do something, and I said, yeah, I'll do that. And I told him, you know, whatever it was, I said, yeah, I'll do that. But I got to thinking about it, and a lot of times people ask me, he said, what are you doing Saturday? Well, I can't remember what I'm doing Saturday. I'm trying to get through today. And I said, I don't know why. And he asked me to do something. And I said, oh, okay, I'll do that. But then I got to thinking about it. I had told somebody else that I would do something. I'd rather done what Brother Stephen wanted to do, but I told this other person that I'd do this other thing, and so I sent him a text message. I said, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I already promised to do something else. I said, and I'm studying about Jephthah, and Jephthah kept his word. I said, we need to keep our word. We need to do what we say we're going to do. And so anyway, I ended up doing both of them. But We need to do what we say we're going to do. In verse number 36, the Bible says, "And she said unto him, My father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth. For as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even of the children of Ammon." Now, we've already pointed out Jephthah, he's a good man. And Jephthah's daughter, she's a good woman. She's got a good attitude concerning this thing. What if somebody come along to you and said, yeah, I promised the Lord I'd do something and it involves your life? You know, I wonder sometimes, missionaries, we had a missionary a while back and he got up here and he stressed that not only did he feel like this was God's will for his life, but he said his wife was on board. 100% they were doing this together. He said, I can't do this without her. And I think I remember several people saying, amen, that's right. I wonder how many of us have made vows that involved our wives or our children and got them involved in something that they really had no knowledge of whatsoever. I got to thinking about this today. When the Lord called me to go to the state of Idaho, I don't think I went home and told Kim, what do you think about this? Do you feel like this is the Lord's will for our life? And would you go with me? I think I just went home and said, God told me to go to Idaho. And now she's a good woman. You know what she said? Well, I guess we're going to Idaho. But I'd already told the Lord. I think it'd be good, you know, if you're married and your children, I believe it'd be good. If God's in it, He'll get everybody on board. But wouldn't you like to pray about it and let God have time to persuade and show you in your heart rather than just being drug along? A lot of times I think people drag their families along and they end up coming back because their family don't like it. That does happen, you know. Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord, and he come home, and his daughter come running out, and he's there ripping his clothes and crying all about it. And she says, if you told God that, that's all right. Well, she's a good girl. She's evidently a godly young lady, or she had had a whole different attitude about that. Dad, if you told the Lord that's what she's going to do, do it. Look how good God's been to you. God delivered you from your enemies. She is a good woman. I believe that with all my heart. Now, did he sacrifice her? I do not believe he sacrificed her. What I believe that he did and that she did was to dedicate herself to the Lord all the rest of the days of her life. If you notice in verse number... Let me look back and find it here. Verse number 31... He said, first of all, whatsoever cometh forth, he said, shall surely be the Lord's. I don't believe he sacrificed her, but I believe he gave her to the Lord, and I believe she gave herself to the Lord. And what actually happened was, the rest of her life, she never got married, she never had children. She dedicated her life totally to serving the Lord. Now, look at the language of it. The language of it. You cannot find that he burnt her upon an altar, which I believe the Lord would not have been pleased with. But still, people will argue about this until the Lord comes, I'm sure. But if we look at beginning at verse number 37, look what happened after this. She said, Dad, if you said that, that's what you got to do. Verse 37, and she said unto her father, let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down upon the mountains and bewail my virginity, I and my fellows. And he said, go. Why the big deal about her virginity? She is unmarried. She's the only child. That is Jephthah's only hope of his line going on, is his daughter. He was the son of a harlot. You remember that. His brothers didn't really want anything to do with him until he was able to come back and deliver them. This is his line continuing on. His only hope. This is the end for Jephthah's line if his daughter doesn't have children. And so the hopes in those days, especially the hopes for this girl, is that she would be married and that she would bear children. But now she realizes she'll never be able to do that. She says, let me go out 2 months upon the mountains, bewail my virginity, I and my fellows. That doesn't mean guys. That means her girl friends who are girls. Verse number 38, and he said, go, and he sent her away for 2 months, and she went with her companions and bewailed her virginity upon the mountains. And it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow, which he had vowed. And here's what the Bible says. And she knew no man. Yeah, it says he did with her according to his vow, but it said, and she knew no man after that. After that, she knew no man. She was a virgin her whole life. She knew no man. And then it says, and it was a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah the Gileadite 4 days in a year. And so there somebody could say, but it doesn't say he didn't offer her up. And it doesn't say that he didn't, but I don't believe that he did. Now somebody else might say, Martin Luther, the commentary. No, Matthew Henry. I get those two mixed up all the time. Matthew Henry. He said that he did. He said, you know, it's hard for us to imagine that, and I'm paraphrasing here. It's hard for us to imagine that he done that, but that's what he said, and that's what he did. That's what he said. Other people, J. Vernon McGee says, there's no way. Other people I've read said that been so abominable to the Lord that there's no way the Lord would have allowed that to happen. Human sacrifice was abominable to the Lord. Exodus chapter number 20 says, thou shalt not kill. That's one of the Ten Commandments. Jephthah is mentioned over in Hebrews chapter number 11 in the Hall of Fame of Faith. Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 32, the Bible said, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets. Boy, he's put in there with a good group of men. And if he would have took his daughter out and killed her, I just don't think the Bible would have said the same things about him that it does. But I will say this, if we get to heaven and I'm wrong, I'll pre-apologize. But I'm not going to argue with anybody about it. I just don't think that he did. I don't think that the language bears it out. Now I'll close with this. Here's what we need to remember when we study about Jephthah's awful vow. Here's what we learn from this. Number one, don't make foolish vows. He shouldn't have never done that. There's no need for him to do that. It's not unnecessary. God was already going to give him the victory. You and I don't need to bargain with the Lord about things. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, and say, I will, Lord willing. I'm going to try my very best. But don't make foolish vows unto the Lord. And if you tell the Lord you're going to do something, make sure you do it. And that's the number two thing. If you vow a vow, you better keep it. I heard a preacher, he was talking about being at a youth meeting many years ago, and he said there was 18 young people there. Went down at the end of the service, and they all dedicated their lives to full-time service. But that preacher said, you know what? None of them done it. None of them. He said, I knew the Lord was working on my heart, but I was afraid to tell God that I was going to do something that I didn't know if I was going to be able to do or not. But he's the one that served the Lord all the days of his life. And all the rest of them that went up and dedicated and all of this, none of them did. None of them did. It's better not to vow if you're not going to do what you say you're going to do. And I go back and I close with this. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 7. It said, but fear thou God. I'll tell you, telling the Lord you're going to do something is serious. Serious business. I remember when the Lord was dealing with my heart about preaching, and I said, Lord, if you'll show me, I'll do it. And the Lord showed me. I mean, he assured me, showed me from the scripture, spoke to my heart. And I was so serious about it, I said, Lord, I know what you showed me, but if you'll show me one more time, I'll do it. I got to be sure. I got to be sure about this thing. It's serious business. And so we conclude chapter number 11, Jephthah's awful vow. We're going to get into chapter number 12, wind that up. Chapter number 13, we're getting ready to get into Samson. And Samson is very interesting, but you'll notice there's some more of these ones that you never heard of. We're going to deal with them in chapter number 12. So we'll get down to these other judges here. Lord willing, as time goes on, but I appreciate you coming out tonight. Hope you got something out of it. If something's brought back to your mind and memory tonight, you say, boy, I told the Lord this, and I never done